what grabs you. Now, this focus this morning is centered not only on this question, but if you'll stay with me, it also is going to combine a story found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37, as you can see on the screen. If you want to find that on a device or you want to use your own Bible or one of the Bibles here that we've provided, feel free to do that. I'm going to also put up the portions of scripture that we're going to talk about from within this context. And at first glance, you might say, this question seems a bit odd, or maybe for you it creates a big visual image. That's what it kind of does for me, a picture. And for some of you, it might give you pause. You're that contemplating person. You know, you're kind of pausing. And regardless of how you are processing that question, I want to create some common context as we begin today that's going to help us explore this question and for you to understand where it comes from within my context, within my life. Then couple it with this scripture, these verses, this story, and make personal application. Because here's the quote that really is the catalyst for this title. Whatever grabs you repositions you. Think about that. Whatever grabs you repositions you. I was at a conference last November with my husband. And as we were at this conference, a pastor friend of ours, Sean Smith, he was speaking, and this is his quote. And you know, can I just say, I'm going to use a word that's pretty prevalent within our culture. I'm almost obsessed with this. Like, I say almost because I'm trying not to be so obsessed with the quote. I'm trying to process it and let it, like, speak to me. Because I recognize that whatever I give kind of focus to, or attention to, starts to call me. Does that make sense? And it can be things that I see, it can be causes, it can be attitudes, it can be all kinds of things. And I'm not here to label anything bad. That's what you have to determine. Because as I look at my audience, most of us are endeavoring to follow Jesus. Online, I pray that you are a follower of Jesus, and if you're not, we want to help you become a follower of Jesus. But I want to say to us, as followers of Jesus, and for those who are interested in following Jesus, that whatever grabs you repositions you. And you might say, well, what do you mean by that? What I mean is, it starts to occupy space with what we think, and then attitudes that form, and then activities and actions. And it starts to own us in ways. And you know, I guess because of having been here at the church for a minute, and working with people, having been a public school teacher and then coming into Rev student ministries and young adult ministries and then a church ministries director and now Heart's Cry, I've worked with a lot of people. And let me just say this. We end up going places we never intended to go. Is that you? Have you experienced that? Do you know a family or a friend that it started with this component of something just grabbed their attention, but they ended up taking a trip that they never intended to take? And you know, can I just tell you, sometimes it's a destination, like a physical destination, they end up somewhere. Other times, it's something that has occupied space in their mind, and their thought patterns have taken them places they never intended to go. And that is not God's will for us. And so it really challenged me on a multiplicity of levels when I was in that conference, because I not only thought about myself, but I thought about the people whom I love, who are a part of my family, and then the concentric circles that you are a part of, that we partner together in. And so as you listen today, I pray that it's active listening. That's a teacher term, okay? I pray that it's active listening, not just like, I think she'll be done soon. Because I think there's something for you. I really do. Not because it's me, but because he wants to position our lives in ways where things are accomplished for the greater good. He wants to take us in kind of a crazy culture time. And that's what I think, that even that image of grabbing, there are so many things calling. There's so much going on, right? Come on. You'd have to, what do they say, like have your head in the sand for that not to resonate. There's just stuff everywhere. There's stuff calling. But I am submitting to you, we must ensure that we are allowing the right things to grab us, because we don't want to be repositioned in ways where it's not God's will for our lives. Does that make sense? We want to be repositioned so that we can then be used as catalysts for others to come and know him, for others to be repositioned, if you will, so that their lives accomplish all that he has. And so I kind of unpacked that in a way where I pray that you can like visualize it now, and it's not kind of like feels odd or there's a pause or it's just a visual, but that we have kind of this common framework so that we can then move forward, because now I want to couple it with the story. And the story that we talked about, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, it's a lady who, for me, she's a role model. And can I just say, this is not gender specific, so this is us specific, because her life models for us how to be grabbed by the right thing and repositioned for the greater good. And let me help you as we move through this to see that as it happens. So here we are in 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there," meaning the room, "whenever he comes to us." And you know, you might say, "Oh, that's really nice. What a nice lady." Can I just tell you, in this portion of scripture, there's so much more than that. And I'm going to help you to see that with the Spirit's help, because I believe that right here, as we pull this apart, using some alliteration, you know I can't get away from that, right? The language arts teacher in me. Using some A's, we are going to pull this portion of scripture apart and go all the way to verse 37. And we are going to really look at what's grabbing us and how is it repositioning us and how does God want to help us, because he does. So travel with me. Our first A is this. It can be found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8a, all right? What I would submit to you is that this lady in Shunem, that's why she's called a Shunammite, she has this awareness. Now, what I want to say is we don't know from that portion of scripture, if you have it on a device or you're looking at it, it goes really quickly, okay, where she sees Elijah and then she moves towards building him a room. There's time involved with that. That's a summarization. Does that make sense? So there's something happening in her life. And this is what I want to submit to you. One day, Elisha went to Shunem and a well-to-do woman was there. There's something that happened. It doesn't matter if it was the first time he went through Shunem or he's been through many times. That's inconsequential. What's important here that we can make application to is that there's something that happens when we're asking the Holy Spirit to make us aware of how he wants to use our lives, that even in the routine, in the mundane, in the city in which you live, in the grocery stores that you frequent, and every other venue you go to, that you think you know like the back of your hand, right? That he will illuminate our minds as we ask him to in real ways, and we will see people and things that before we perhaps have not, and in different ways. And this Shunammite woman becomes aware of Elisha in the routine, in the mundane, in everyday life. And you remember what I said, what grabs you repositions you. It's most times progressive. And that's why I would ask you today, have you asked the Holy Spirit to make you aware as you are living, moving, and having your being in the places that you go? If not, can I tell you, it is so cool when you begin to do that, because he shows up. And he makes us aware of things and people in the subtle, you know, in that understated, low-key kind of way. And you know, so many times I think that there can be a propensity in our lives, and maybe this is me, so I'm not going to hoist that on you, but this could, I'll own it. That's part of what I do with my kids. What's your part to own as we move through life? And so I'm going to own this. This could be personality driven. But so many times I'm looking for the loud, big noise, chaotic kind of thing to get my attention. Kind of the David and Goliath moment, or the burning bush with Moses moment, When in actuality, as I study scripture, and as I look at history, and as I look at my life and I interact with people, it's amazing to me when I see people who have moved through this process and repositioned correctly and God is using them, that it started in a very subtle, low-key way. Now, there are the Goliaths, there are the burning bushes, but what I'm saying as far as ratio, there's far more involved in awareness being created as we live our lives. And as I couple this on the next slide, here's what happens when awareness is created. There's movement patterns that begin to form in our lives. And so look at the Shunammite, if you will, with me. As she is living and moving throughout her town, doing what she normally does, it doesn't indicate anything special happened. It wasn't like Elisha showed up and people are like, whoa, who's this guy? She noticed him. And here's what I want to say too. How many other people were in those city streets that never took notice of the man of God? Think about that. How many other people did he walk by? How many other people might have said, oh, that's that Elisha guy? And yet something about the Shunammite woman was different. There was an awareness that was created within her that then created a movement pattern. And here's when I talk about progression, and I made that statement, people end up going places they never intended to go. See, this component can seem like super simple. There's a lot that's in here. Because what you focus on begins to direct you in so many ways. And as we think about, and I'm here to say, if as you are moving through, just listen today in an active listening mode, because I know it's new for you. It's something I've been processing a lot and then processing to deliver to you. But I'm asking you to think about in ways that make sense for your life, because awareness, focus on something begins to create movement patterns in our lives. For her, it was that awareness came and she began to provide food, right? She began to put aside certain things. But even prior to the food, can I tell you, we go to the next A and it talks about attitudes, because awareness then travels to our minds. And this is where I'm just going to take some creative liberty, but I don't know how much liberty it is. Like I said, there's no way other people did not see Elisha. There's no way other people did not have the means to help, and even people that didn't have means. I mean, just to do something as an overture, right? To welcome or to do something for him. And yet, it doesn't indicate anything like that happened. And this is what I want to propose to you. As awareness is created, and God is trying to do something in us, there will have to be a process in our minds where we are reconciling our comfort zones, right, with what new thing he's asking us to do, or what expanded thing he's asking us to do. And for this woman, let me just say here, I wrote down some things. You know, she had to decide to move in, again, awareness creates movement patterns. She then had to decide, and as she starts to provide for him, arrangements have to be made, conversations have to be held with a household of servants and staff, food set aside, and a new paradigm emerges. It says whenever he traveled through, he dropped in. He didn't even have to announce it. And you might say, what's the big deal? Can I just tell you, how do you feel? I know how I'm pretty type A many times. God's helping me, but I still am. And you know, that whole drop-in thing, when my doorbell rings, I don't go, oh, I wonder who it is. I'm like, who's at my door? Who's at my door? Why are you at my door? And I'm being honest and transparent with you. I mean, this woman, God had created an awareness in her that she then had a movement pattern that happened. And I would submit to you, before it happened here, you know what I mean? Like feet, right? And the conversations, it happened here. It happened up here. And we have to be willing to have the conversations and to have new paradigms emerge that then we see ourselves differently and we start to move and be repositioned. Does that make sense? It should. Because God wants us to not only be aware of things within our culture, within our context, He wants us to then begin thinking differently about. See, I wonder how many people thought, well, he can provide for himself. That's not my job, right? And you know what? Maybe they were right because it was her job. It was how God was going to reposition. But here's what I would say to you and me. I said I was going to use the quote, use this story, and make application. Be careful when, because we live in a context where the Holy Spirit is stirring and moving, right? And when the Holy Spirit makes you aware of something, be careful. Sometimes it's for someone else, but I think many times it's for us. And we start to get a little bit challenged when he starts to ask us to recalibrate, to think differently, to see things differently, and then put some action with it. Because it can be a little bit, like I said, who's at my door? I'm just being honest with you. It can feel a little bit like that. Like, this is how I've got things planned. And can I just say this? I think especially with what we've been through the last couple of years, sometimes we just want to say, I just need it to look like this. Does that mean, right? I just need it to look like this. It's been so all over the place. And I understand that. I've traveled with you. And we've traveled through some challenging times. And yet, I think even in those places, God wants to do something in this progression of repositioning us for greater good, for his purposes, that not only involve awareness, but also involve attitudes. Because attitudes will be on display. They will reveal how we have processed and prioritized. And that's what begins to happen as we move in ways where awareness then moves to attitudes. That next slide. They're going to reveal how we process and prioritize. And you know, we can use verbiage and say what we value and what we love. But we all know this. We best see those things by the outward display, right? By the outward display. And it became obvious to the people of Shunem that she was not only aware, they didn't use the alliteration like I am today. I'm doing that for our purposes as I disaggregate the story and then give it to you so that you can, you know, process yourself. But as I think about this, it became pretty obvious to the people of Shunem because every time Elisha came, he made a trek for her door. And it's pretty obvious to people how we process and then prioritize based on what our lives look like. And there's no condemnation in that. But God wants to do something in and through us, like he did to the Shunammite woman, that's observable and on display. And so as we think about awareness and attitudes, and we process our priorities, can I just ask you a question? In all honesty, you're not going to answer it for me. You're going to think about it, right? Are there some things that need adjustments in your life? This is why I said when I heard this quote, I don't ask you to do anything that I haven't done first. Okay? That's just the bottom line. I've asked this of myself. Are there adjustments that need to be made in order for me to be repositioned in ways that greater good occurs and that God is glorified? And only you can answer that. And we're just getting started. Okay, you ready? The third A goes to activities. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp. I like that. And I get that there was some activity involved previously, but can I just tell you, our third A is where real activity is associated with this repositioning. Because the awareness, as we said, she noticed, it was subtle, the attitudes occurred, she processed, she shifted, she moved some things about, but now this is where she's going to expand the footprint, literally, in a much more definite way, and there's going to be an addition put on her home. And I think about this, and as I look at this, I'm just like, I think in terms of, I'm just going to tell you a funny story, you know, we always tie that in, meaning myself. So I enjoy like thinking in terms of, and I've told Brad this, I am not packing up to live in Brighton unless we're living on the water. Like, don't even ask, okay? And because it's a lot to pack up, it's a lot to move. And that, to be honest with you, I love. And so we have looked, I would say, 4 or 5 times at properties on the water in Brighton. Now, we can't afford the ones that have all been redone, okay? Those are pretty. But we can't do that. So we always have to look at the fixer-upper. Now, that doesn't bother me because I go in with the realtor and I'm like, okay, so what's the code here? Because, like, we looked at one and I can think about this in particular. It's like, well, you can't go up here because this house, you couldn't do this. So there, I said, so we could blow, and Brad's sitting here, right? And so the realtor, I said, so we could blow this wall out, take back this deck 6 feet here. I can knock this wall down, make it a bathroom, expand the great room, stairs upstairs, and a dormer. And my husband is like, let's just stop talking. And I'm like excited. I'm charged up. So I want to be careful. Personality wise, here's my thing. Now you got to make it yours. I could blow some walls out like that. Doesn't scare me. It excites me. And then I just say to him, now you need to understand, once we do that, there'll be some unexpecteds and it'll probably total this. You know, it's super dangerous to watch all these home shows because I think I can do it. I think I could help them do it, all right? That's just, and so that's what I'm saying. See, for some of you, you're like me, and you got to be careful that the activities match what he wants and how he wants to reposition, because you could blow the walls out. You're like, where's the sledgehammer? And you don't even consider, is it load-bearing? You know what I'm saying? Others of you are like, let's just live. I'm sorry, I don't mean to mock you, because that's not fair. But that's how, let's stay here. This is tidy. This is good. Why go anywhere else? I'm like, because there's a way better views. Right? So that's what I'm saying. So I want to be careful here and put that in here in this realistic fashion. We've got to be careful as followers of Jesus Christ, as we are endeavoring to be repositioned in the ways he wants, that we don't, personality-wise, get too far, like, what do they say, cart before the horse kind of thing, right? So we have to be careful. I think she just did a great job of understanding after the awareness of, hey, that's a man of God. He goes through here. We should do something about that. And then she's like, oh, I should do something about that. Then she moves to this place of having a conversation with herself and processing things and saying, okay, so what could I do, right? So she starts to move in there, and she begins to move from awareness, and then she moves in ways where there's attitude adjustment of, hey, this is all this stuff. She's well to do. This isn't just for me and mine. This can be shared. And I just say this, you know, all of us have stuff. This isn't directed at any social economic class here or that's watching. All of us have stuff we can share, right? And so as we think about that, then it moved to actual physical activity. And it involved, and I like this, I put on the next slide, it involved renovation and new construction. And she just started moving in ways that were representative of that repositioning that God had for her life and that progressive movement that was going to be utilized in even a greater dimension than she ever knew. And that's what I want to say to us. As we sign up and as we say yes, and as we say, Holy Spirit, help us be more aware. Help us shift and change with some attitudes. Help us to be involved in activities. You know, he's going to take us up on that, which is so awesome, until it's not. Do you know what I mean? Until it's uncomfortable. But this girl, she's just a girl after my own heart. She's getting a addition put on. And then she's even saying, and then we'll have this, this, this. And I'm like, yeah. But can I say to each of us here today and those online, you know, our world needs us to go Shunammite. I don't know in what way, shape, or form, but it does. Because as I said at the beginning, there's so many things endeavoring to grab our attention. There's so many things trying to shape and form our attitudes and our activities. And it is incumbent upon us that we move in the power of the Holy Spirit with discernment about what it looks like. And I wrote down just a few things, but it's not exhaustive. Because our families need us to be grabbed by the right stuff. Our schools need us to be grabbed by the right stuff. Our workplaces, communities, our state, our nation. And again, not exhaustive. And so I'm going to say this, and then I've already said it's personality driven, meaning you'll have to discern what the activity looks like. But tidy is over. Do you understand? That's how, if you, tidy is over. I don't mean that you can't sweep up, but I mean it's going to be challenging as we step out and as we reposition ourselves and listen to the Holy Spirit, because there's an intensity that's happening within our world that is, I'll use my euphemism, it's interesting, okay? It's interesting. And God needs us, and you know, I use that, but you all know scripture that knows scripture. He doesn't really, he chooses to use us. But he wants to place us, like he did the Shunammite, in particular venues, reposition us, because there are people that need to see our lives. Does that resonate with anyone today? They need to see our lives. And when I say tidy is over, what I mean is, it's just, it's very rare now that, like, I say, okay, we're going to do this, and there's not, like, modifications. Or there's not other things I need to think about. Or there's not some challenges associated. And I would say it's probably the same for you. And then I want to say this as we go to 2 Kings. I know I'm asking you to do a lot with me as we're moving today. But 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. I want, before I introduce the fourth A, stay with me. I want to kind of tell you what's happened. Now, you know, I've used some pieces of scripture, and some time has now passed. Now, I love this portion of scripture because it creates a great visual for me. Elisha is now in the room that's been added on with the bed, the table, and the lamp, right? And I picture him reclining, and he's like, oh, this is good. And she's feeding him, right? And it's awesome. And it says, now, so I painted that picture for you. This is where this conversation happens. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, that's Elisha's servant, well, she has no son and her husband is old. The woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Now, time had passed. What had started out with awareness, she had noticed. Attitudes that had shifted, changed, new paradigms had emerged. Activities that looked like a room built. Now lead us to our fourth A. And now there's going to be, and that sounds really good, but I'm going to take it to the next slide. Now there's audibles. And I want to say this as we get into this component of this fourth A. As you are moving from awareness, attitudes, activities, there will be audibles. Okay? What's an audible? See, I'm a sports person. An audible is like, if you think of like, even if those of you that aren't, but if you think of football season starting, right? Here we are. And if you think, I always think Brighton's interesting. We're about 25 minutes from the big house, about 35 from Sparty, right? And you know we have a house divided at our home. But I think about that quarterback going up to the line, reading the defense, and shifting the play. That's an audible, right? He's calling something different. And there's movement patterns. I want to say to you and to me, as we endeavor with the Holy Spirit's help to be aware, right, have the right attitudes, and then move in the activities, mark it down, the audibles come. Nobody gets a pass. But I also remind myself, because like you, I've had more than one audible I've had to navigate. They teach me things. And he doesn't even waste our pain, our disappointment, our challenges, if we will process correctly in the audible and cling to him, because that's the kind of God he is. Because if you've already read this, which I know you have, either on your device, your Bible, or on the screen, you know that she had a son. And yet when that son got to be a teenager, what happens? He starts to hold his head one day out in the fields. He tells his dad, you know, kind of like using our own, I don't feel so great. They get him in the house. He dies. She is such an amazing woman. Because, you know, I think so many times in the audibles,
how do I want to say this? We have a funeral too soon. And while audibles are for real and for certain, and nobody gets a pass, I don't care what age you are here today in the house or viewing online, don't have a funeral too soon. She said, I got to get to the man of God. And even the servants in the house and her husband, and I'm not being negative about them, they were looking at the situation, right? The boy's dead. And she says, I got to get to the man of God. Can I tell you, when those audibles come, we don't have to saddle up, but it's a great visual. She had to saddle up. And I like what she even said to the servant. I got to get to the man of God. Don't wait for me unless I tell you to. Keep going. And I want to speak life into some of you today, because that's where we're going with this. Whatever's going on. If you say to me, man, Rhonda, I've tried so hard. I've been aware. I've checked my attitudes. I've done activities and been a part of. And the audibles, it doesn't look like I thought it was going to look. It seems unfair. There's inequity. There's injustice. Make it your own. I'm going to tell you today. He knows where you're at. And don't have a funeral too soon. Because he is involved in our lives. In every piece, the fabric of our lives, he's woven through. And he will speak. And he will move in ways that will be different. And can I tell you, I know the audibles can look like things we didn't see coming, events that feel devastating, or they just keep coming, you know, smaller things. And again, that's not an exhaustive list. But can I just say to you, and I'm not crying about what I'm going to read. I just sometimes do this. So what I'm going to read to you next is not associated with that. But it's for me, this past year has been so representative of this in like some of the most crazy ways. And I say this where I could not get traction, but I just kept going. And some of you, and I think sometimes it's just like exhausting. And that's what I mean about don't have a funeral too soon. It can be a literal, like, huge thing, but it can be a progressive thing. Just constant stuff keeps coming. And, you know, I'm going to read you a list. Like, this is my 2021 through 2022 school year. And I'm not looking for your sympathy, and that's why I wanted to clarify. These tears aren't about that. Many times when I speak, because I know some of you what you're going through, like, does that make sense? Or we are partnering. So the Spirit, you know, I'm just like, yeah. So there's just something that happens in that realm, and then the tears and so forth, because when you partner with people in real ways, you get that some of the audibles are just devastating. And some of the things people are going through are just devastating. And so your heart is attached to that. But let me just, for a little bit of this audible thing, talk to you about, like, for my life this year, this last school year, it was really challenging. And some of you might be able to relate to this, just the stuff, how it keeps coming. You know, in September, as the kids started school, I was excited because, and here's the challenge sometimes, when you have awareness, attitudes, activities, and you're endeavoring to be repositioned, you have expectations. You have expectations, like you think, okay, it's going to look like this. And I had expectations of this school year because we've navigated some stuff, right? I think we all know that whether you have kids or not, we've navigated some things. And so my expectation last year was we were in school every day and I thought, okay, here we go, right? It was anything but here we go. It was crazy here we go. And I'm not making it up, but I'm going to read you the list. September, we had some personal challenges with some things happening in school that we had to navigate, and it took about a month to kind of get some things situated. In October, we had some services we needed, and then Eli got a concussion. Then we had a quarantine, and how it was crazy. And the day the quarantine ended for one of my kids, I was standing there to pick up my other child outside the classroom, and all the moms went, we had a text. This class was now in quarantine. And then that night got a text, the school is closed. Okay, so that took us through November. And then I moved to December, 2 weeks they were in school and we were trying to get some traction. January through March, both of my kids had stomach flu. They traded it 3 times apiece. Have some fun with that. You know the only good thing about that? Brad and I never got it. But okay, just that alone, you get where I'm going, right? And I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm saying this is how it can happen. And then March through May, a root canal, a complication, a tooth extraction, and then another child, a tooth knocked out on the playground. Then how about this one? Brad, I pick up from school almost, I'd say 99% of the time. And one day I was here doing something, and he said, do you want me to get the kids? I got a little bit of time. I said, that'd be great. I've got this thing to do. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm not paying attention to my phone. Those of you that know me know that would be my norm. I know. So I'm not paying attention to my phone, and Holly's here, one of our admins. She comes in. She's like, Pastor, I need you to. I'm like, what? So I look at my phone. He's called, and I get on the phone. He's like, do you know what's going on? I am on the side of the road trying to get to the school. Probably 20 police cars have gone by, state, local. I said, I don't know. He said, Rhonda, they're all turning into the school. And our campus is an elementary, so it's the elementary, a huge parking lot, and then the 5-6 building, meaning fifth and sixth grade. And eventually, I said, no, call me back. I don't. So we start trying to Google. So there's an active shooter alert, okay? And they aren't really saying exactly what's happening. Based on what I know and the email that went out, what happened was a child had been sent home from the fifth, sixth grade building, got mad, called in just as those two buildings were dismissing, that there was a man in fatigues with an assault rifle in the woods behind the school. So you've got FBI, there's state police, and my son has to, because his room faces with the window, has to see all those cars go through. They go into an active shooter drill, because our kids now know what that is, right? They practice it. And my husband's there, and because nobody had planned, you got parents out of their cars and guys. He's like, Rhonda, you got people on. He's on the phone with me, right? And I'm just like, oh, my word. And so you have all this going on. So I'm just telling you, just that audible rocked my world. Just that audible. Because I do not like that my children had to walk out of school. It was debunked pretty quick. You know, they can ping these phones. I felt bad. Not super bad right away. But for the child that called it in, because that's not going to be, you know, that's a bad deal right there. Because when you get the FBI and they're pinging you, you're in trouble, all right? But I'm thinking in terms of my kids and just different things and carrying that, right? And they have to walk out eventually. They let them out. But all the police cars are still there. All the people with huge vests on, the big rifles. I don't like that. I'm like, come on. And yet, I'm just sharing with you in a real way as a mom. I just said, you know what? You put us in the time periods that we will live. The book of Acts says that. You trust us to be here. So I'm going to be present. I'm going to be present. We have great friends that used to pastor here with us. They were our family life pastors, Kurt and Christy Dimoff. They were heavily involved when the Oxford shooting took place in holding the meetings for those kids and families, utilization of their building, Bridgewood Church, and the stuff they walked through. They had youth group members, at least one or two that were shot but did not die. I mean, this is real stuff. And I know we have students here. There is, you know, that day, like I said, tidy. Remember when I said tidy's over? This is real. This is where, as there is awareness and attitudes, can I just tell you, that awareness thing to reposition, what's my propensity? I want to take my kids at one point and just go home. I'll build a place, and I'm a teacher, I can teach, but no. For me, I knew that wasn't it to hunker down. It's messy, it's not easy, but we stand in hard places, and we move in ways where there's awareness. And then there's attitudes and there's activities that involve hard conversations with your kids. There's support that is built in because it's a different time and space. And that's what I'm saying to us. He wants to reposition us to engage. The Shunammite engaged. You might say, well, hers was so much easier. Can I tell you, I'm not here to compare and contrast. What I'm here to say is for each of us here, in person and online, God has something for us to do, more than one thing most likely, and we will need to move through this process regardless of our emotions and move in ways where spirit-infused power comes and we can have those conversations. My daughter couldn't quit talking about it. My son said, I don't want to. And so I have to go back. I have to know what to do, right? And this is what I'm saying about tidy. And it doesn't need an active shooter drill to be untidy. There's a lot of stuff going on within our culture. But here's the part I want to say. in those audibles. And then I didn't even add in, you guys know this, Brad had that, we got through some of that, and in June he had emergency surgery, you know? And so I'm just like, and that was some complications that seemed to crop up, went to about July 10. And that's why I said no one gets a pass. But you know what I've learned through all of this? I've learned a resiliency. I've learned a dependence in a greater dimension on the Lord. And that's not cliche. You may say, oh, come on, I've heard that. I know, I've heard it too. But I lived it last year in a different way. I lived it last year waiting, if I'm honest, for the other shoe to drop, because that's just what it felt like. And yet saying, you placed me here, we can do this. You placed me here, we can do this. You placed me here, we can do this. And I will not hunker down and yearn for tidy. There were days. But I mean, in the most part, I would kick myself and say, let's go. Like the Shunammite, saddle up. It says she saddled up. And I think about that. Her son is not breathing, and she saddles up. Can I speak to you? When things look desperate, do you opt to have a funeral too soon? Or do you endeavor to get to God? Do you endeavor to connect with him in ways? And you might say, well, Rhonda, it worked out for her. Because as we go to that fifth A, here's the answer. Elisha comes back, and it says the boy's body grew warm in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 34b. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. When she came, he said, take your son. And she came and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. And she took her son and went out. And you might say, well, she got what she wanted, Rhonda. Because some of you here have had literal funerals. I get that. I get it. But here's what I want to say. He always speaks life versus death. And there's not a same in life, but there's a sameness. Does that process that? He's not the same. I've seen people healed of cancer, and I've seen people who were amazing pass away. Okay, so, and I know that's an extreme example, but I mean, come on, we understand that. I think some of you have seen that too. And yet I've seen the people where people have passed away with process and so forth, because we're not robotic, I say that often, but they come to a place where God ministers to them and life-giving power flows through them and they are repositioned. And I think of even a couple in our church who lost a daughter in an accident. And Ed has shared this publicly, and Christine, they're not here today, but he shared it publicly with us. And as he processed and Christine processed the death of their daughter, it was quite a tragic, it was an accident, a tragic death. God has repositioned him to lead a grief counseling ministry that is doing amazing things with people. And that's why I said he even uses our pain. And he connects us with people. And you know what was so interesting to me? Is Brad was asked to do the opening prayer at their fundraiser this year. I could not attend. And so as he went, he did the opening prayer, and he said he went to sit down, and he heard someone going, Brad, Brad. And he's like, you know, trying to like, who is that? You know how you do? It was someone that's very close to us, kind of a relative by marriage, that her husband had passed of COVID. Very unexpectedly, we were all super, like, very surprised when it happened. Meaning, there didn't seem to be a propensity that anything like that would happen. And he passed of COVID. And she was sitting in the audience. We had no idea. And she had moved through the grief counseling program there with Ed and his team. I mean, it's a big operation now. And I just think, God, you know, what if there had not been in Ed and Christine's life the ability, right, to move through what we're talking about when we say go Shunammite? You're going to have to implement these principles. You're going to have to do this at some point in time, and maybe you're doing it now. And as the worship team comes back, I just want to say to you, He knows and he cares. If you are in this place and you're like, Rhonda, I need answers, he will provide those answers. In some way, shape, or form, just like he did for the Shunammite, there was resurrection. But as I've already said, I can't promise physical resurrection, but I can promise resurrection to you personally as you move in the ways that he is challenging you to move. And only you know that. Only you know what he's speaking to you, what he's asking you to do, what he's endeavoring to make you aware of, the attitudes he might want to change, the activities he might want you to involve yourself in a new or expanded way, the audibles he's asking you to navigate that you're tired of, devastated by. And he wants you to see him as the answer. And so we end where we started. Whatever grabs you repositions you. And so it's important in a culture that is speaking loudly, that is endeavoring to grab, that you make sure that you are aligned with the Holy Spirit, with the person of Jesus Christ. Because there will be an awareness, even in the subtle. There will be attitudes that are processed, where prioritization is challenged. Activities that expand the footprint of your life. Audibles you must navigate, as we've already said. And answers that will come. And a repositioning that is for the greater good and for others. I believe that. And I endeavor to live it with you. Because the world needs us. Not because we're so amazing, but because he is. And because we should be identified with him. Can you imagine when that boy started walking around that city again? Come on. Some of you he wants to raise up. You've had a funeral too soon. And he wants you to stand up and he wants you to proclaim his name, whether it's out loud or it's just by the fact that you're standing and you're moving. He wants people to see our lives and for them to know there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. And so today, as we conclude, my prayer is that you'll think in terms, if this quote is all that you remember and then the Shunammite, you know, moving in and out, kind of weaving, my prayer is, though, that the Holy Spirit will bring to you, don't let the wrong things grab you, because they'll take you places you never intended to go. And if I could say that to the younger generation that's here, viewing online, just endeavor to get it right. I don't mean perfect, I mean right. To those of us that are older, you know, don't be afraid to redo and call yourself out. We don't have all the answers. And let's go on this journey together and be Shunammite-like. Repositioned because we've been grabbed by the right stuff for the world around us.